right. We are live. It's happening. And so it begins. Let's see. We'll just wait a minute as people are notified that Conservative Mama is live. Oh, we've got one. Yes. Hello. Where do you hail from? Are you YouTube? Are you Rumble? Are you Facebook? I still don't have a notification. Oh, here we go. Okay, Facebook, it's on. Rumble, I think I'm on. And then YouTube. Is YouTube? YouTube, are you here? Are you with us, YouTube? Let us know. Upstate New York, Facebook. Hey, Peggy. Welcome. I heard it's beautiful up there. Upstate New York. I've never been. I've just been in New York City, but I've never been upstate. Melinda, Facebook. Thank you, Melinda. Welcome. Welcome. All right. How's everybody doing? We made it to March. And March, it's kind of, I feel like it's a milestone. It's a milestone for me because I can only do so many gray days. Do you know what I'm saying? Gray days and cloudy. And after Christmas, it's kind of like, okay, like I'm ready for spring. I'm that person. And I don't mind snow. I like snow. I haven't been able to ski lately because we've just been so busy, but I've skied growing up as a kid. But I suddenly get over it. And maybe it's because I'm getting older. You know, older people don't like the cold as much. I don't know. But I'm ready for spring. And I feel like once you hit March, you start to get a little taste. You get a little break. You get the longer days, the time changes. You know, it's not dark at 4 in the afternoon. So I'm a fan. I'm excited. Oh, Long Island, New York. Look at all these New Yorkers on here. I tell you, and I said this last time, New York is my biggest following. And I love it. I'll take it. We need New York. We need to take New York, right? Yeah, Long Island on here, upstate New York, Omaha. Hello, Chris. Welcome. You guys are close to me. I'm in Colorado. I drive through Omaha every summer. Every summer we go through Omaha. And actually I stayed in Omaha this last summer. It's fun. It has its own beauty in a way. I like wide open spaces. I don't like feeling. So when you just can look and see miles and miles and miles of just farmland and space, it's like peaceful to me. I need that. More New York. Okay. Indiana. Hey, I drive through Indiana too. It's a little road trip we go on every summer. All right, so let's get started. A lot to cover this week. A lot's happening. First, this is just kind of hitting now. This story with Catherine Herridge from CBS News. She was formerly with Fox, an investigative reporter covering the Bidens, covering their activity, Hunters, all of that. She is now being held in contempt of court because she's not revealing her source. Supposedly her source is from China. So I find this fascinating that the silence of the journalists out there, like I first of all, as an investigative journalist, it's very difficult to get your source to give you any information. So you have to have this huge bond with them, this trustworthiness that, hey, I will never reveal you. You can talk to me in confidence. I need to get the story out there because freedom of information is what keeps us a constitutional republic for the leftists out there, a democracy. That we need freedom of information. We need investigative journalists. We need them to go against the grain, to speak the truth. And she's one of the very few. So she has this source. So think about this. If you're China, you want to know who this source is. China's not freedom of press. They're communists. Okay. So they want this source reveal. And now we have our own government pressing for her to reveal. Now, who has ties to China? Huh? Whose son made millions of dollars in China? Like, connect the dots. It's unbelievable what's happening right now in our country. We also have a journalist from The Blaze named Steve Baker. He's like an independent. He contracts with The Blaze, is my understanding. I could be wrong. But he was at January 6th, right? He was at January 6th. He was filming. He was taking pictures. He was letting people know what was happening. Other journalists were there from mainstream media. Nothing has happened to them. But Steve Baker has been taken into custody today. And he's like in court, right? Court hearing right now for being present at January 6th. Now, there's reports that he said stuff online or prior to that, like after he was on January 6th, that he was happy that, you know, people were in Nancy Pelosi's office and that her stuff was destroyed. Like, you're allowed to say that stuff. And if we're starting to punish journalists for speaking freely, now I might not agree with that. I might say, you know, I should have said that. I was stupid. Don't say that. But we cannot arrest people for speaking. And if that's what's happening here, this is just, I'm so like, what bothers me is these journalists, okay? These American journalists that, you know, work for the mainstream media. You have to be an absolute fool to think that they're not going to eventually turn on you. When you study history, when you look at Mao and his regime out of China, he had this Red Guard, right? These students that rose up, and he kind of like, they operated with him. They worked with him to start this whole revolution, this whole revolt. And eventually Mao turns on the Red Guard. Like, if you think for a second as a journalist that the people with absolute power, and it corrupts absolutely, and they become corrupt, if you think that they're not eventually going to turn on you, you're an absolute fool. It is time for journalists, I don't care where you are, to begin to speak up. This is how it happens. This is how things happen. This is how you shut down free speech. You shut down journalists. You shut down the ability to speak freely. The freedom, the free flow of information, like we're seeing with big tech censorship, you shut that down. You lose what we have. It is so important that regardless, I mean, you might be afraid, well, I don't know how I'm going to feed my family. I don't know. I've been at this, you know, corporate media forever, and I'm starting to see it now, but I don't know what to do. Trust God. I'm sorry, but you, this is now, and the time is now. The time is now to say, hey, enough of this. If you're in the FBI, if you're in the CIA, if you have been watching what's happening to our nation, and you're starting to feel that tug, that pull, it is time to speak up. It is time to speak out. It is time to rise up against this junk. This is how it happens, you guys. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to watch. And I think about these, and God love those people that are out there speaking the truth, man. That the Catherine Herridge out there. I mean, think about the pressure that she's under right now. And I guess she's getting fined like an obscene amount of money every single day. That she doesn't reveal her source. I tell her to hold fast. Do not reveal your source. Be strong. And I would hope that other journalists would rise up in support of her. And this is what's so crazy to me. There's power in numbers. We outnumber them. I don't think people understand that. We outnumber those that are trying to change this country into what it is not supposed to be. We outnumber the communists. We outnumber the globalists. They're able to operate by stealing elections and by putting God knows what into our planet. And they're able to manipulate the media. That's how they're able to do it. They then cheat and steal. That's the only way they can do this. We outnumber them. I think that it's so important for people to understand that. You are not a minority. Even when you think about, okay, well, my neighbor's a leftist and they're kind of crazy, and you know, I feel like even in New York City, you guys, if you were to sit down with a lot, I know people are like, Rachel, you're crazy. This is crazy. We are so outnumbered. If you were to sit down and talk basics, do you believe we should have a secure border? I would say at least 7 out of 10 would say yes. Okay, you're going to have the 3 nut jobs. But do you believe that we should be able to speak freely? 9 out of 10 would agree with that. Do you believe in free press and the free flow of information? 9 out of 10 would agree with that. Now you're going to get into like debates clearly with the propaganda being pushed in schools. A lot of those people have been indoctrinated. But if you're to come down to like core principles of what sets a country apart, what causes a country to remain free and steadfast, free speech, do you believe in free and fair elections? Do you believe that your vote should count? you're fighting against a lot of these people that want to cheat in elections, but I don't think that they outnumber us. I really don't. And maybe I'm just being too optimistic, but I don't. So rise up, people. Next, Trump and Biden visit the border. Now, this is fun because Biden has not visited the border, but it's an election year. And he's decided, you know, maybe I should show up down there. Now he goes to, where did I write down? He goes to a part of where did he go? I know that Trump visited Eagle Pass, somewhere here. Let me look. Biden visited, Texas, but it's a town that's not even an issue, really. Oh, they're not even saying. Brownsville. So he visits Brownsville, where a lot of the trafficking and people crossing over, it's not happening. Trump goes to Eagle Pass, where it's just swarms of people coming over. And I liken this to, like, you call a plumber and you're like, hey, we've got an issue with one of our toilets. It's just flooding. It's flooding. We need it fixed. And the plumber heads to a toilet that there's no leak. I'm like, why are you here? What is the point? Like, that's what Biden did yesterday. And I want to just show you the difference between Trump visiting the border and Biden. So here's a clip of Trump really quick. So he's shaking people's hands. He's being presidential. He gives a speech here. I'll show you in a minute. And just looks like, you know, that's what you do, right? This is Biden in Brownsville, Texas, at the border. He can barely walk, guys. Look at it. It's not moving his hands. He can barely move. I get it. You're a Biden supporter on here. You're like, I love Biden. And Biden's amazing. You love Biden because you hate Trump. Let's be honest. Like, let's just cut to the chase. You love Biden because you hate Trump. Because your hate for Trump is so great, you're ready to destroy this country, is basically what you've decided to do. The difference there is so vast. Okay. But not only that, once they get there, Trump talks about the issues. Hey, we got to secure this border. We got a lot of bad people coming across. In order for us to be a sovereign nation, we need to have secure borders. This is out of control. Tons of criminals, tons of drugs. Like, this is something that we need to protect America. That is one of the primary roles of government. I'm not a big government person. I don't like big government. I don't want a lot of government. But I do believe one of the primary functions of government is to protect Americans from outside forces, right? Like, from enemies, right? You don't let spy balloons fly over your country. You protect Americans. Well, obviously, that's not happening right now. We have such an influx, it's out of control. So Trump is talking about that. And then you've got Biden suddenly just starts talking about climate change. Watch this. No, hold on. Here we go.
Well, my administration is going to keep the idea there's no such thing as climate change. I love that, man. I love some of my Neanderthal friends who still think there's no climate change. Well, my administration is going to keep building on the progress we've made fighting climate crisis, and we're going to keep help folks rebuild themselves.
Just 1 week ago, a beautiful 22-year-old nursing student from Georgia was barbarically attacked, almost unrecognizable. While she was out on her morning run, she was doing a keep herself in shape. She was a beautiful young woman. She was a great person, best nursing student there was. I spoke to her parents yesterday. They're incredible people. They're devastated beyond belief. But she was beautiful, just so beautiful in so many ways, and brutally assaulted, horrifically beaten, kidnapped, and savagely murdered. The monster that charged in the death is an illegal alien migrant who was led into our country and released into our communities by crooked Joe Biden. He's crooked. I took the name away from Hillary.
It's just so heartbreaking. I still can't get it. I don't know if you guys saw the, it's like a compilation video of Lincoln Riley. And it's like, it could be anyone's daughter. And it's heartbreaking. And it completely avoidable. Like, it didn't have to happen. This doesn't have to happen. This is what's so wild and crazy to me is now you suddenly have Biden saying that, oh, maybe we should, you know, do something about immigration, or maybe I'll take executive action on this whole immigration issue. Maybe I'll do something now. He could have always done something, you guys. Like, I don't know how, as a leftist that troll me here, like, I don't know how you can explain that. Because now he's considering taking executive action. Why didn't he do it before letting 7 to 10 million, probably 15 million people into our country? Why didn't he do it? Why didn't he do it 3.5 years ago? Or why didn't he just keep the policies that Trump had in place in place? Why? He didn't because he doesn't have Americans' best interests at heart. And I know that's hard to hear because you're like, no, that's it. That's it. We have a young girl that's now dead because Biden doesn't care about Americans. And not just that. I have a list of illegal immigrants that have crossed into our country and have committed crime on Americans. I just want to read some of these. Salvadorian. He's a Salvadorian illegal. Nilso Rajardo Granados. He's 25-year-old. Killed a two-year-old boy in Maryland and is currently being charged with first and second degree murder. We've got a Venezuelan illegal, Renzo Mendoza Montes. He's 32. He raped a 14-year-old female in Virginia and is being charged with sexual assault as of a minor. You've got a Honduran illegal, Angel Matios Castellanos, Orellano. He's 19, allegedly raped a 14-year-old girl in Louisiana and has been arrested for first-degree rape, aggravated assault, and a stabbing. We have a Jamaican illegal, Stephen Claude Rategan. He's 48. He shot 3 D.C. police officers in a 13-hour standoff who were serving an arrest warrant for animal cruelty. So for all the animal activists out there, right? I mean, you guys care more about the animals than you do about unborn babies in the womb. So let's just address this. Are you guys cool with these people coming over and creating animal cruelty? Are you cool with that? Will that fire you up? Will that get you to do something? This guy's hurting animals. Do you care? Do you care at all? Do you want to make a change? You want to do something about it? 48-year-old. He's being served with a warrant on animal cruelty. His criminal history dates back to 1995. He was previously deported in 2001. Okay. Now I want you guys to see this. Okay. In 2021, Alejandro Mayorkas, our head of border security, head of Homeland Security, bragged that they got rid of Trump's policies. They got rid of Trump's policies. Watch him.
And I'd like to understand from you what Trump era immigration policies have been banned, ended, reversed, and if any investigations are underway by you.
So we have rescinded so many Trump immigration policies, it would take so much time to list them.
Wow. Did he rescind those so that 14-year-old girls could be raped? Is that why he did that? Or that Lincoln Riley would be murdered? Or that animals would be beaten and hurt and harmed? Is that why Mayorkas did that? Why? Why did you do that? And if you're not asking why, you're not paying attention. At this point, you have to ask yourself why. Why? And I'll tell you why. A lot of people believe it's to get a whole new voting block, right? Right? Because, you know, you have a lot more and more African-Americans, Black Americans that are starting to see the light. And they're like, wait a minute, you guys are not fulfilling on the promises. You're helping illegals when we've got our own issues here. And we've got veterans that are living on the street, and we're putting illegals up in hotel rooms. This is nuts. And people are starting to see the light. So they have to, how do they have to, they have to keep a voting block, right? So you have to orchestrate a whole new wave of people to vote for you. And you, what do you do to get these people to vote for you? How do they do it? How do the Democrats get people to vote for them? Handouts, right? Handouts, free phones. You know, we'll pay for this. We'll pay for that. We'll pay for that. Not who will, you will. The taxpayer will pay for this. But that's how they get people to vote for them, right? And I'll tell you, I know people that vote Democrat, and a lot of them had some kind of government help when they were younger. They grew up. I talked to a woman and I was like, why? Like, I wanted to know why. And her husband's a conservative. Okay. But she's like, I just can't bring myself to do it. I grew up, my mother was a single mother, single mom, and we would not have been able to get by if we did not have, you know, some kind of food stamp, some kind of assistance from the government. I understand that. I totally get that. But there comes a time being where you can get a little bit of help like that. I get it. Because some people, they need a helping hand, right? But and this is for another topic, because I believe that if the Christians of our world would step up and help out and at least give what God has given you, some of what God has given you, we wouldn't see a lot of these issues. But the church has completely failed there. So people have turned to government for help. And now we have people relying on government, but it's a short gap. It's a short timing. It's not for the rest of your life. You're to be given handouts by the government. And once you are given a handout, right, you kind of feel like you owe them. So these people continue to vote Democrat. Some of them feel like indebted to them. And so that even though they see all the issues, they see all the problems, they see the transition, they see what's happening to our world and what's happening to our country, and they feel like, oh my gosh, but they feel like they have to vote that way, because they had some kind of help. It's the same with people that had an abortion, right? A lot of women that have had abortions, they feel like, oh, because I had an abortion, I need to stand with women that are advocating for abortion. When in fact, if you realize at this point, it's wrong. I made a mistake. I've asked for God's forgiveness. I've turned from this. I'm now on a new path. You can turn and you can speak out against this. It's the same with government handouts. It's the same with voting Democrat. You could make that turn. But that's what I see. That's what I see a lot from these people that I'm like, can you not see it? And they see it, but they feel like they have to because they had help at some point. But I'll tell you, eventually you run out of money. Okay. Like eventually you can't sustain it. And I think, yes, it's for a new voting bloc, but I think it's a little bit more sinister. I think this whole thing is a little bit more sinister. I see it in a way of eliminating the middle class, because eventually you cannot, like my family, we can't support it. Like, taxes are going up where I live. Food prices are going up. There's very expenses. You're starting to feel the burden. Eventually, like, they want to push people so much to the point where they can't handle it. So then you feel broken. You feel it. And they've eliminated that middle class. So then you have a huge amount of population that is dependent on the government. But government, which blows my mind, because government can't necessarily sustain this either, because they're eliminating the people that are funding this. Like, if you are government, right, and you're taxing this, that's how you're able to pay, you know, for the illegals to stay in a hotel. That you're taking from some and you're giving to another. But eventually this entity, these people that you're taking from, eventually have nothing else to give, right? So then this is where you see a complete transformation happening around the world, a global transformation, a new system being implemented. This is where you see the people that have all the money saying, hey, we'll take care of this. The elites in government, elites that we don't even know about, saying, okay, we'll take care of this, but you'll be indebted to us and we will control you. And I think like that is like the long-term game. And it's dark and it's sinister. And I'm praying that people wake up. I mean, and I feel like my role is, and I was on a podcast yesterday talking to a woman, Celeste. What is her? I should give her a shout out. The Celestial Report. She's a scientist that was in government that woke up And she's a brilliant woman, like so smart. But I was on her podcast and I go, I feel like I'm this watchman on the wall and I'm yelling and I'm like screaming. And like, you can only do so much to say, hey, they're coming. You guys, we either get ready and we fight against this or we just surrender. Because it's intensifying, and it definitely is intensifying when you have 7 to 10 million people that do not align necessarily with American values or our culture or free speech or freedom of press or freedom of religion. Like you don't. So we're at a point where we have to do something. And yes, voting is a huge thing you can do, and talking about it. Just talking to your neighbor, talking to your friends, being a voice in this time. And I know, and I was on the phone with my mom yesterday and she was like, she was asking me to kind of get involved in something. And I was like, Mom, like I'm doing everything I can. Like I'm doing everything I can. It's time for people that haven't been doing a lot. You're kind of watching, you're behind the scenes to start to take action. If you love this country, if you love your kids, if you love your grandkids, it's time to begin to be bold. It's time. It's time. Because the last thing you want, especially as a Christian, to stand before God and you're like, oh, I should have. Sorry that happened. Yeah, I should have spoken up in this moment and I didn't. You want to know that you did everything you could, right? I mean, that's kind of how I feel. So Anyways, this is another thing that happened this week. Trump now owes New York $454 million. So basically they're just trying to bankrupt him is what's happening here. And what I think is wild here is a lot of these charges, this millions of dollars that he's now owes is due, like they found him guilty for inflating the values of his property, right? They said that Mar-a-Lago was worth like $18 million, which is just insane. Like it's insane. It's worth like probably close to $1 billion. So they charged him with inflating property values. Now he could pay this and he probably will at some point, or I would say fight it. And he proposed on Wednesday to post a hundred million bond while appealing that he called this an exorbitant and punitive $450 million fraud judgment in New York. Basically, he speaks out against it and said, "Hey, I'll give you $100 million for it, you know, to settle this whole thing." So that's gonna go back and forth. And then what else? Hold on, and his lawyers are fighting it. But what I think is crazy is like he's being charged with inflating property values, and he's probably gonna sell one of his properties for millions and millions and millions of dollars over what it's valued. So it just, again, is like a big, you know, middle finger to these people that said that he overvalued things. He didn't. But it's just, this is what's happened. We've turned into lawfare, right? In order to stop your political opponent, you just go after them in court battles. You go after them with indictments. You go after them like we're seeing journalists being arrested. If you're not awake, I don't know what it's going to take to wake you up. Anyways, okay. Oh, and this is a big thing. This happened just recently. The Supreme Court has decided to hear President Trump's immunity case. The whole question is, does Trump have presidential immunity? Did he have presidential immunity during the whole January 6th? Issue. Yes, but we'll see what happens. Oral arguments are now in late April, but this now delays or could throw Jack Smith's case altogether because that's what he wanted to charge him on, right? Insurrection. And they were hoping the Jack Smith people, they wanted to try him and then convict him. And I think that their whole goal was to have like the October surprise. You know how we always have an October surprise, you guys. So just be ready. There's always something that happens in October that throws everything and people are like, oh my gosh, you know, that whole, and I think that they wanted to have a conviction come down in October, but now everything's been delayed. So if they're going to do a trial, Jack Smith people, they want it like midsummer. Trump's people are saying, no, we don't want a trial until August. If you do that, that could delay everything. They were really hoping to get a conviction right before the election because they think like that's what's crazy. Look at this. I mean, just think about this. In order for the left to win, they have to convict their political opponent. Like that, that's how these guys, they can't win because of policies. What are you gonna run on? Like, honestly, what are they running on? Child mutilation, open borders, inflation, high taxes, shutting down free speech. I mean, what is your platform? Like, if you're a leftist on here, like, honestly, what are you championing? Like, what are you really fired up about? Abortion? Is that your big thing? Like, yeah, you know, I mean, what is it? That's what I'd like to know. Like, what do you guys run on? So they gotta convict the guy that they, you know, convict their opponent. That's how they get a win. That's their big plan. Colorado. Oh, this is a big one. Okay. This is a big one. You guys need to know this because it further exposes the left. And if you're still on the left after you hear this story, I really think you should just have a moment in prayer, bow your head and ask yourself, maybe I'm one of the bad guys. Maybe I've been on the wrong side. Okay. Colorado Democrats killed a bill that would have created a mandatory minimum sentence of 4 years for child prostitution. Democrats shut that down. Democrats. Just for a second, think about this. You've got children being trafficked, being abused in all manners. And there's adults that are trafficking these children. I mean, the evilest of the evil, to see a child and to take advantage of them in such a sick, grotesque, abhorrent way. And a Colorado representative, Brandi Bradley, put forth a bill saying, hey, these guys should have an automatic sentence if you're trafficking kids. Like, can we at least agree on that? Can we at least agree that, hey, if you're going to do harm to a kid, if you're going to prostitute a child, that they should have a sentence? And what did the Democrats do? Shut it down. This is a single issue bill. Was there something else in the bill? Was there? No. That's it. That's it. Like, I don't know how dark your soul has to be to think that this is okay. I don't know how dark and far from God you have to be to vote for these people that think it's okay to prostitute a child. Like, I don't know how you get there. Is your hate for Trump that great? Is it that strong? Maybe it's time for some people just to pause, just to say, wait a minute. What did you guys shut down? What did the bill say? And it's starting to get some attention, actually. This story has been picked up by some conservative outlets. Fox News said Colorado Democrats killed a bill this month that would have created a mandatory minimum sentence of 4 years for child prostitution. Under the current law, people who commit sex offenses against children can be charged with probation eligible offense. So they get probation instead. Probation eligible offenses refers to crimes for which a judge has discretion to sentence the offender to probation instead of incarceration. House Bill 1092 was postponed indefinitely in the House State Civic Military Veterans Affairs Committee, dubbed the Kill Committee. So these bills go there and they're completely killed by state lawmakers by an 8-3 party line vote. Postponing a bill indefinitely is a legislative tool used to terminate the main motion without taking a direct vote. So it's a roundabout way to allow child prostitution to continue. These are Democrats. Okay. If you're in Colorado and you're voting Democrat, you're supporting child trafficking. If you're in Colorado and you're voting Democrat, you're supporting child prostitution. If you're in Colorado and you're voting Democrat, you are supporting the sexualization of children. So you better be careful, because you will be held accountable for this. You will stand before God and have to justify why you think that's okay. I'm sorry, but when it comes to kids, I get fired up, guys. I'm a mom. I cannot handle it. I'm just, it makes me so mad what they're doing to kids, what they're doing to our youth. Oh, I get fired up. Some Democrats in the state legislature oppose mandatory minimum sentencing, arguing that minorities are disproportionately incarcerated and the law is duplicative. Some members of the Colorado Public Defender's Office and the Colorado Criminal Defense Bar have testified against it. A public defender handout argued the bill is unnecessary because in most circumstances across Colorado, these crimes are charged concurrently with human trafficking. That was their excuse. Well, it could be like a double sentence. So we don't want to give an automatic sentence to someone that traffics children. Under the bill, offenses like soliciting, pandering, and pimping a child would carry a minimum 4-year prison term. Additionally, pandering involving intimidation would result in a minimum 8-year sentence. On February 15th, more than 50 witnesses reportedly crowded a Colorado Capitol hearing room with nearly all voicing support of the bill. Okay, so the Democrats just completely ignored the public and just went through without shutting it down. Most were adult survivors recounting being sold into sex trade as children, often by family members and friends, some unaware of the buyers, according to a Colorado Politics report. One of the survivors testified that her father was given a sentence less than 1 year for selling her, and he sold her as a child, you guys, like as a little in exchange for drugs, beginning when she was 1 year old. These Democrats think it's okay to traffic a 1-year old child. Like, there's no words. There's no words. I hope people are waking up. I hope you're waking up, because I don't know how you say this is okay. It's just heartbreaking, you guys. It tears me up. It tears me up because, you know, we're to protect the least of these, right? We're to protect the least of these. We're to be the people that that children can trust. And we're letting them down. Sorry to be so heavy, you guys. I'm sorry, but it just makes me so mad. And actually, when I was on this podcast yesterday, Celeste asked me, she said, what really gets you? Like, what really fires you up and makes you mad? And I was like, what they're doing to kids. Like, what the and that's where it's so clear to me. Like, there's no, like, confusion for me, like, on good versus evil. Like, what size... You know, not necessarily always good. I mean, Republicans, there's a lot of issues with Republicans, you guys. There's a lot of issues. I mean, there's a lot of corruption. I'm not going to write them off as all great people, because they're not. They're not. There's a lot of bad guys on the Republican Party. But then you look at what the Democrats are doing and you think, my goodness. Like, they're confusing kids. They're indoctrinating children in school. They're telling kids to chop off their body parts because they were born wrong. They think it's okay to traffic children because they shut down a bill here in Colorado. They shut down a bill that would have given an automatic sentencing to someone that's hurting children and trafficking children. They shut it down. And that bothers me. And it should bother. It should bother everyone. So... I hope that people are waking up. I hope that this supersedes your whatever you support a leftist for. Like, and I don't know at this point. And if you're a Democrat on here, please tell me, what is it about the left that they champion that you're like, yes, that's my passion. Is it the war in Ukraine? Do you love war? Do you want more war? Do you think it's awesome that we continue this military industrial complex where we, you know, the rich get richer and we fund these wars and people line their pockets and it just, it's a giant circle of just wealth for the elite, because that's what this is all about. I mean, what is it? And if it's because, if you're voting left because you're fueled by hate, shouldn't that give you pause? Like, shouldn't that be like, okay, I'm voting for the left. I'm voting for Biden or whoever they put in. I don't know if Biden's going to be able to withstand the campaign trail. His health looks like it's really waning. I mean, you saw him in Texas. Guy could barely walk. Is your hate so great for Trump that you're willing to elect people that think it's okay to prostitute children? Like, that's what you need to ask yourself. Because you're not going to see Republicans with all our faults, you know? And I'm a conservative, not necessarily 100% Republican. There's a lot of Republicans that I cannot stand. But I just want to know, like, what is it going to take? What is it going to take? So, like Peggy's just said, it's hating God. And I believe that's true. But I also see a lot of people that I know that go to church. They go to church. They sit in a pew. They check off all the boxes. And they're voting. They're voting for Biden. And maybe they're just not aware. Like, maybe you don't know that the left has gone full communism. Like, maybe you don't know that. But like the Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Right? My people perish. You literally will perish, and your soul, because you were not informed. Because you weren't full of God's word and you stuck your head in the sand because you didn't want to look up and see what was happening. You didn't want to get involved. You didn't want to do anything. So you just stuck your head in the sand and shut off the news. Can't hear the news. Can't listen to it. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. And I'm not saying you have to have the news on all the time, because you shouldn't, man. You should not. And I don't. There's got to be times where you break away, where you step back, where you just are in silence, talking to God. And hey, what are you doing right now, God? Like, what's your plan? What are you up to? And I think with every day that goes by, it's by the grace of God. It is the grace of God that he has given us one more day. One more day. You have today to make a change. You have today to say, you know what? I've been wrong. I've been wrong for 80 years. I've been wrong for 2 years. I've been wrong for 10 years. It's by the grace of God that he's giving you one more chance to turn it around. One more chance to make it right. One more chance to cast your care on him, to run to him, and to say, you know what? No one can fix this. You're the only one that can fix this, God. I need you in my life. Every single day is a gift. It's the grace of God, because at some point, God is going to be like, I'm done. His word says that. If you've read his word, that's what he says. He'll look at his son on his right hand and he'll say, go get my church. Go get him. And at that moment, you cannot change your mind. You can't be like, oh gosh, you know, now I want to get it together. Like, at that moment, it all starts to go south really, really fast. And when you study what's coming, the judgment that's coming, it's severe. I really wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. It's so severe. And it's real. Because in order for God to be righteous, in order for him to be just, he has to judge. And he will judge. And you will be held accountable. I will be held accountable. I'll be held accountable for how I voted. I'll be held accountable for the people that I put in office and positions of authority and power. I will be held accountable for that. I'll be held accountable for being quiet when I should have spoken up. But that's where we're at. And every day you guys get one, we get one more shot. One more shot. And at some point, it will come to an end. Whether it's when you take your last breath or whether you meet Jesus in the sky. Like it is, it does come to an end. This is all finite. Yes, your soul is eternal, but your chance to make an impact and have an impact as a human being here on this earth is it's a moment, right? It's a vapor. So, but this is a little bit more of a sobering one for me too, guys, because after that bill from Colorado, I was like, wow. And I also see it, though. I see it as how much God loves us. Because he's making it more clear. Like, he doesn't want anyone to be confused. Or to, oh, I didn't know that that was the wrong. I didn't know I shouldn't have supported that. I didn't know. I was confused. It was gray. He's making it so clear. And Jesus made it clear. Hey, if you harm one of my little ones, it's better that you were never born. Never born. So hopefully this woke some people up, right? Hopefully it woke some people up. So, gosh, my nose is all, sorry. I get all emotional but that's what I have for now. I'll read some of your comments. Like to hear from you guys. What are you guys thinking? What are you feeling? What are your thoughts? What are you thinking? Yes. All right. Let's see here. I'd like to know how bad things people have to get for their eyes to be opened. That's how I feel. My goodness, Valerie, I'm right there with you. But when you think about it, when you read in Revelation, like God is pouring out his wrath. Like, I mean, the wrath, its day of judgment has arrived. And what's funny is I do think in the midst of the wrath being poured out, people will blame climate change. They will. Watch it happen. They'll say, you know what? This is all because we didn't save the planet. This is happening. I'm like, no, this is the judgment of God. It's been spoken about and it's going to come and it's going to happen. But the wrath is being poured out and there are people even in that moment that are screaming at God. They're refusing to repent. They're refusing to see why all of that is happening. So I'm like, okay, if some people can't see it in the midst of like the tribulation, in the midst of the day of judgment, in the midst of the day of wrath, if they can't see it, then some people just will not be able to see it. And it's been hard for me to accept that. It's been hard because some people won't see it. But that doesn't mean we don't stop speaking out, right? That doesn't mean that I am like, well, if you can't see it, you can't see it. Like, no, my job as a follower of Christ is to occupy until he comes. That is our role. So that means you take ground, you take authority, you speak life, you speak the truth in your sphere of influence. That's where you've been called and you occupy that territory, man. You do not let that ground go. That's what we're called to do until he comes. So, but some people just, you know, you can do what you can do, right? So what is it? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Like, it's like, I can do this and I can tell you all of this and I can say what Democrats in Colorado are doing and what they support. And if you keep supporting that, then you are also liable. I can do all that, but I can't at the end of the day, everyone has to make their own decision, right? So, okay, Lisa, yes, speak. Don't remain silent. Amen. Amen. Right? And it's like, well, I'll lose friends. Well, family won't like me. I'm not going to be invited. I was told once I'm a very controversial person to be around. I was like, that's so funny. Like, okay. I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to have a lot of people love me and oh, yay. I'm here to do what God's called me to do. I'm here to speak the truth because I would rather please him than have everybody love me. Oh my gosh, it's so great. And then that's also stupid. At the end of the day, it's pleasing God. It's doing what he's called you to do and being obedient to his voice. And sometimes he's going to ask you to do stuff that you're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to say that. But you do it because he's who we're trying to please, right? The left used to be for civil rights and for blue collar workers. Yes. But they got hijacked by these progressives, cultural movements, sometimes about around 2010. It was sneaky. Many didn't see how nuts it was. That's so true, Deanna. So true. Oh, thank you, Carl. Sweet words. I love your encouraging words, you guys. You guys have no idea. Because this is, I do feel like I'm in a battlefield. So when you get kind encouraging words and support, and a shout out to my Patreon supporters who support me monthly, which is just such a blessing from God, because sometimes you're like, gosh, I'm tired. Should I keep doing this? Can anyone hear me? And then I have people come around and support me monthly. And that really means more than I can say. And it is your way of speaking out because your support allows me to speak out. So, amen. A lot of these despise religion. Yes. And a lot of these people have actually made government their God, right? So that's a whole other thing we could talk about at some point. Very true, Peggy. David, I'm still dealing with some fellow Christians who believe that we should put God first and his son, Jesus Christ, but somehow can't wrap their minds around the fact that someone, somewhere, sometime must actually take out the proverbial garbage or it will continue to collect, accumulate. It's so true. What did Jesus do, right? What did Jesus do? I think it's so, oh, well, that's not Christian, right? That's not very Christian to do. That's not Christian. What is Christian? Is Christian letting evil run rampant? Because I didn't see Jesus do that. When he came in contact with a demon, what did he do? He delivered people from their demonic holds and oppression. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus saw people misusing his father's house, what did he do? He went in there and flipped tables, flung around a huge whip, right? That's what Jesus did. And it's funny because there's always this picture of Jesus as like this just passive guy and this like shawl of some kind, you know, cloak, this meek little face, and he's holding a lamb. But that's not a true depiction of Jesus. If we're honest, the next time this world sees Jesus, do you know what he looks like? He's got a sword coming out of his mouth. His eyes are on fire. He's got hair white as wool. And he's coming to judge. He's coming to take down these people that traffic children. That's what Jesus is coming to do. That's not very Christian. Are people going to be saying that when he shows up? That's not very Christ-like. Really? Okay. They're in for a surprise. People are in for quite a treat. Anyways, I encourage everyone to read Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. Who's that by, Jimmy? They have dumbed all this population down so much. Insane. All right. I just posted about this today. Ohio is number 4 with our Republican governor, has served in Congress with Hillary and has schools in Haiti and continued. Yeah, trafficking. It's unbelievable. And it's so dark, Karen, when you start to go down the trafficking of children, when you start to look into that and who's behind it. I can't say it on YouTube. I can't say it on Facebook. But it's dark. It's dark. Pacifism and Christianity are not. Amen, Lisa. Amen. And the truth is offensive. I don't know. Like, people are like, oh, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm like, well, then you're just not speaking the truth. If you are not offending people, then you're not speaking the truth. You're just a lukewarm milquetoast. And what did Jesus say he's going to do with the lukewarm? What did he say he was going to do with them? Spit them out of his mouth. You occupy. You shouldn't allow any of this junk to be happening in your sphere of influence. Okay? At all. My fave video short you did is the one with the teen boy. It's so funny. Oh, thank you, Rachel. I appreciate it. That is a recap of my son. We're in that preteen. He's going to be 12 this month. And he gives me a lot of material. He's his own little character. And I think a lot of moms relate to that. I actually just did one. You probably haven't seen it because it's so sensitive. It's just the censorship is nuts. But I posted one where the difference between my husband and I, because I don't know if you moms do this, but I'll look at my kids and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like I have a daughter that's 10 and another daughter that's 8. And, you know, I'll be like, oh my gosh, they're going to get married someday. I was like, we need to start saving for their wedding. Like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, who are they going to marry? Like, I know this family, they've got a great boy. And it's like, I'm all like, you know, cause I'm a mom. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, like just projecting out. And my husband's like, oh, you know, she's 10. Like, we've got some time. And same with my son. I'm like, oh, so he's going to be leaving the house. I think he's going to need a home. Like, that's just the difference between men and women with a lot of stuff, which I love. I love the difference between men and women. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And I know it causes, you know, disagreements and stuff like that, but we balance each other in such an awesome way. And that's just so God, how he created man and woman. And, you know, women, we feel we are really good at discernment, I feel. And we do project out, we plan, and guys are much more in the moment. And it's just cool. It's cool to see the difference. It's a great video. I'm going to send it to my daughter. Oh, very cool. Thank you, Peggy. More. Okay. I could do more of them. I could do more of them. And I do. And I do want to make some that are just not political at all. I think that that's important because I also think in order to reach that middle, right? And that's what we need to win, you guys. In order to reach that middle, you gotta lure them in, right? You gotta attract them. You gotta make them laugh. You gotta... who's this person? What are you? And then you start to drop the facts and the truth. It's like a little, what, you know, on the end of a fishing rod, a lure, right? I think conservatives need to do that. I think we really need to do that more. We need to work on that. So that's my passion. All right, you guys. Well, God bless you. We're at like a whole hour. I haven't done an hour in a while. But keep the faith. You know, hold fast, stay strong, occupy your territory, speak the truth, be a light, operate in love, though. You don't have to be, no hate. You can't hate. That's not of God. You can love these people. Jesus loved them. He gave his life for them. So, yeah. All right. I will drop my Patreon support in the comments because I could use your help. It's $3, a dollar, whatever you can throw. I will definitely appreciate it. And we will talk soon. Have a great weekend and God bless you guys. Bye.